Hi guys, and welcome to this edition of Finance with Dan. I've got with me a special guest, Lauren Stiles from SmartFox. How are you, Lauren?
I am fantastic on this rainy afternoon where all the Melburnians and international guests have been extremely disappointed at the cancellation of the Grand Prix.
On the day of the Grand Prix. Today is a day, isn't it? For the first day?
I think the race is on Sunday, and I think they changed it to a night race too, from memory, but that won't be happening in Melbourne.
No.
And for me, who's a little bit of a racing fan, it's just been announced that there'll be no crowd at Caulfield for the All-Star Mile either.
Well, there you go. A lot of upset people, obviously, but I can kind of get it, but that's okay. It is what it is.
Hey, I found some toilet paper in the supermarket yesterday, so I might be one of the lucky ones.
You should hold that and sell on eBay. It'd be worth a lot of money now. Someone was like $6,000, but anyway.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah. I must admit, I did walk through the supermarket, and if people could kill me, I'm sure I was getting death threats just from the looks that they were giving me walking around with a 32 roll pack.
You would have been bugged, mate, especially if you were around where I live. But anyway, that's another quick story. I'll introduce to the audience of how I know you. And I think it's a pretty funny story. So you and I both used to work for the same bank, Macquarie Bank. And we worked in it in different sections of the bank. But funny enough, we found ourselves in the same Monday morning meetings, weekly meetings.
Yes, we did.
We did, but we never talked.
No, we didn't really.
No, I actually didn't even know your name. and it was pure chance that last year we caught up again, that's it. And we're like, I know you.
I think it took us about maybe 2 hours into that function to try and figure out how each of us knew each other, and we finally figured it out.
So at the time I thought, I know maybe you were pretty rude, but then you probably thought I was pretty rude, but...
Well, you didn't make any effort to talk to me either.
No, I didn't, because... have you seen the show Utopia?
I haven't.
Yeah, well, to me it felt like a show in Utopia, because my frame of mind wasn't really working that well, and I was more of a, this is a meeting, I know what my team does, you don't do what we do, what am I listening to your stuff for?
And why was I listening to yours?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh dear, we better not speak ill of that.
No, I mean, that was years ago.
I always did used to it, if nothing else. I always caught up on my people gazing by making sure that I found a seat for that meeting that I could look out the window over the air.
It was an amazing boardroom at first sight.
It was an amazing boardroom, and I still love my days at that institution, but I guess...
You were there for a long time?
Almost 10 years, actually.
There you go.
And I loved it, and I was shattered after my forced departure with the sale of that business that I worked in. But onwards and upwards, and I've moved on, and obviously I'm now running my own show, working for myself.
Fantastic. We'll get back to that soon, but because it is Coffee with Dan.
Mm-hmm. It's all about you.
It's about the coffee first.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So I've got this coffee here that is Frangelico. It's a cocktail. Frangelico's in there. Bitters is in there. There's something else.
Bourbon,
that's right. And obviously a shot of coffee. You want to have a taste? Tell me what you think. Or was it wrong to have coffee in there?
Actually, it's really good.
Well, there you go.
It probably doesn't mix with my passion fruit mojito.
No, you took it pretty safe, yeah.
I did go on the safe version, but if I was to have another one, I think I could do that.
Well, there you go. So for you guys listening, we're in a cafe. I forgot what it's actually called.
We're at Pure South in South Bank.
Yeah, so that's where you can actually order it. I actually asked for the coffee to be added to the actual cocktail. So Lauren rates it pretty highly, so you should come along and try it too. Anyway, back to the finance side now. How's that? So let's go back in. And who is Lauren, apart from a former Macquarie banker? What are you doing now?
Yes, okay. So I started in advice, specialize. I'm a life insurance specialist, effectively. So after almost 10 years at Macquarie and 15 years as an insurance BDM, I finally bit the bullet and jumped to the dark side, as some people might say.
That's pretty funny, you know, because when bankers on the mortgage side jump over and become a broker, they say the same thing. It's the dark side. Why is it all the dark side? It's the fun side. Anyway,
look, it has its pros and cons, and some mornings I wake up and go, how I'd love to be back at the Big Mac, but then there's others and I go...
I've heard that one before.
Probably not. People probably think I'm crazy for thinking that, but I did love my time there.
Yep.
I achieved some pretty amazing things, so I will never forget it. But it is probably my time at the Big Mac that a lot of my clients, as I used to say, my 150 husbands, successfully convinced me that I should go into competition against them, because I'd probably be a really good advisor.
Yeah.
So I guess after hitting me on the head enough times, they were right, and I bit the bullet and jumped across to the dark side, and here I am, running the Smart Fox. So my specialty is insurance, all forms of insurance that are linked to life, disability, business insurance, equity transfer insurance, key person coverage for key people that have debts in their business and the likes. So my specialty is really complex cases, from the complex underwriting, so clients that are hard to get insurance for, from medical conditions or financial underwriting, right through to complex claims. So even clients that I haven't written their insurance, I run a complex claim service where I will charge them a fee to assist them in getting claims paid, or just consult to them on any claims that they think may be able to be made, but they're not quite sure, so they're just getting an opinion. If I deem that they could make a claim, I then help them through the process. Why I would deem myself a specialist in that is I've sat on both sides of the fence. So in over 15 years, well, actually, I started specialising in life insurance in 2002. So in that time, I've seen a gazillion claims, helped advisors underwrite a lot of cases. And that's really my skill set, to be able to interpret a policy document and how a client medically might meet a claimable event.
Wow, okay, cool. So this next question is actually going to be for brokers, and because this podcast as well is going to be direct to public. So why should a broker consider teaming up with you? And if I was not a broker and I had my own mortgage and I'm getting a mortgage, I'm looking at refinancing mortgage, why should I also consider contacting someone like yourself?
Great question.
Yeah.
So the answer really probably doesn't change whether it's broker hat or the end client.
So what's in it for the client? So by default.
I mean, if you looked at that from a broker perspective, my role is really to make sure you can sleep at night by knowing that no matter what life situation your client finds himself in, they will be able to service the debt that you've given them.
Yep.
And then you could flip that to the client by saying, really, they could sleep at night by knowing that they're well protected.
Yeah. So I know that most... And this is just an example. I mean, most people getting into their first owner-occupied, usually it's a young couple, usually they have no children yet, and usually they will have children.
Yeah.
And
sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
But when they do, then obviously the obvious answer is, or the obvious thing that will happen there is, you will lose part of one income.
Potentially. Mm-hmm.
Now, when that happens, because no one ever expects a life event to happen, but it does, then what you would do then would obviously be helpful for the remaining spouse to not worry about losing the house.
Correct. So obviously we would make sure that there's a way that we can keep a revenue stream coming in that can service the living expenses of that household, including the debt that they've got, whatever mortgage it might be. So it's quite often the biggest issue is not when someone is dead, but when they are disabled and still living, because something you would have to factor in to their position is they probably now have an increased expense with medical bills. So making sure that there's enough income that can continue to come into the household.
Sorry, that's just a helicopter flying down the Yarra for the rich tourists who now can't attend the F1, and then they're thinking, what am I going to do today? So
that was the Crown Chopper. Yes.
Oh, sorry.
So going back to your answer, your question.
Yeah.
Looking at protecting, ensuring that the household can still meet their commitments with their debt. But it doesn't always just come down to protecting that remaining income earner. One of the questions I say to my clients, and I do get lots of clients in that situation, is that's fine if we're protecting that income earner, but what about the spouse at home that may be looking after the child? And it doesn't need to be female, it could be the stay-at-home dad.
Yeah.
What do you do if something goes wrong with them and they get sick?
No one ever thinks that. Really?
Well, it happens.
I know, yeah.
And I've seen it happen often. Mm. So I will also address the situation for the non-working spouse. And people go, oh, but you couldn't insure them because they're not working. Mm. Well, that's actually not true.
Mm.
So I will develop strategies around how we look at making sure that that household can still work. And maybe the spouse that is actually generating the income can be in a position where they can afford to take a couple of years off work to look after the stay-at-home spouse and the child.
She's very good.
She is very good. Thank you. I've never actually thought about the whole child thing before. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting you talk about.
There's no better specialist than this.
We're still recording, but that's cool.
Going back to talking about the children, something that I never used to be a believer in is a child, what I call child trauma.
Yep.
And a couple of years ago, an old friend of mine, I show horses, and I'd run into her at horse shows only, and she was telling me a story about the time that she spent living in Ronald McDonald House. And we all know about McHappy Day goes to fund Ronald McDonald House. And she actually benefited from the funds raised from that happy day, primarily because the family couldn't afford to put her out to live in a hotel near the Royal Children's Hospital while her daughter was undergoing consistent blood transfusions for leukemia. And my view really quite after that point changed on this child trauma product, because people don't think that their kids are going to get sick, or they don't want to put, I suppose you could say, the kibosh on their kids. But I definitely raise it with my clients now, and it's interesting to watch, because sometimes you'll see one of the parents going, no, we don't need that, and that's perfectly fine. But what I'm finding is when I say to people, it gives you flexibility that I've got money coming into your household.
Yep.
That you cannot have to worry about getting up and going to work that day. Your real focus is looking after your sick child.
Right, and that's.
And my job is to just make sure that when that happens, I'm giving you a check so you don't have to think about it again.
Right. By all means, I'll just preface that this is not obviously a podcast to promote that particular product. It's just the fact that hopefully it's something that the audience learns something new today.
That's true.
No one thinks about this. I didn't think about it, and I thought I kind of knew my stuff on the lending side. And we've always been taught on the lending side at PD days and so forth that, hey, you need to ask the client the question about protecting the income, not protecting, well, you are in a way, but you never fully think about the child. So
that's one thing. I guess the other thing that I find often, especially with referrals from a mortgage broker, is their clients often think about replacing an income just for a year, not for the life of a mortgage. And the reality of it is I've got multiple clients that may never be able to work again that I've done claim work for, And literally, if they didn't have, I can give you an example. One, his claim will bring in $2.3 million to that household from the period of him going on claim at age 43, where he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. He was the victim of a coward punch, and he now has permanent brain damage. And he will be on income protection claim to age 65, and that will bring in $2.3 million to that household. And I can't tell you what the wife thinks of me, but the word angel came into it. But and I didn't do anything special other than helping them out. But people don't think about the long-term position, they only think about the short-term. $2.3 million is a lot of money when you've got three kids to raise under the age of 12.
Absolutely, I mean, it actually, I will probably say it sounds like a lot of money, but because you've got three kids, it's actually not a lot of money.
It's probably not. No, and that is why his wife rang me in tears at 7 o'clock one night and said, Lauren, you're right. It's just hit home that if he died and I don't have that income protection benefit coming in now, I'm in big trouble. Her words weren't, I'm in big trouble, but I'm keeping this PG rating. Sorry.
No. It's you know me, I can swear, so.
Well, she didn't keep it PG rated, and she was bawling her eyes out, begging me to find a way to get her in dust cover.
Yeah.
So at least if something else happened, she acknowledged that she needed money to keep that family unit going.
Yeah. Well, Lauren, thank you so much. I've learned something new today, and I hope the audience has too. We're going to hopefully get you back as a guest again, so then we can learn something else new about what you do. But guys, thank you so much. I'll post in the links below with regards to who Lauren is and where she works, so you can, if you want to partner up with her, or if you want to think about your own insurance, give her a call.
Thanks.
Thank you.